This is the B&J podcast. Parents, don't let your children listen to this fucking filth, fucking filth, fucking filth.
I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. It's been so long, I've lost my taste. Say, angel, come, say, lick my face. Let fall your dreams, I'll play the part. I'll open this mouth wide.
Welcome to the B&J podcast. I am Jay.
I'm B.
And we just heard a song from PJ Harvey called Can't Hardly Wait from 4-track demos. I don't think there is a full like band version of that song that she performed. I know Juliette Lewis did it in Strange Days. But
that's right. I was just thinking about that movie.
Why?
Because it's an there's a couple of reasons. One is because it has like a really graphic rape scene that I had an argument with my friend with a friend at the time about whether or not it was sexualizing rape, and I was like, no, because it's not. It's horrifying. Also because I think about that movie a lot because it's one of the few movies that I think where the first hour and 15 minutes are fucking amazing and like one of the best movies I've seen, you know, like one of the coolest, like most original, most well-executed sci-fi concepts that is completely ruined by the fucking last 45 minutes to an hour of that movie, which are garbage.
So good A side, bad B side.
Really good A, but like the difference and the starkness and the contrast between the first and second halves is so mind blowing to me that it's just like it's just this thing where it's like yes, 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 and then it shits all over you. It's such a bad it becomes such a bad movie. I harbored a lot of animosity towards Kathryn Bigelow actually for a long time.
Yeah.
This is the second podcast in a row where we've talked about Kathryn Bigelow, isn't it?
Yeah, because I know I edited a good chunk of what we did last week out.
Really?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Kathryn Bigelow on the final podcast?
No, we did. No, I'm trying to remember what I edited out. And when we started talking about 70s movies, by the auteurs. I excised all of that out because it got way too, like, only the two of us would care about it.
I think the audience for that kind of stuff is a lot broader than you may think. People love that shit. At least all the people I know love that shit.
Yeah, so, okay, Catherine Bigelow, two weeks in a row. So, last week's podcast was marked by my existential crisis of... I mean, there was a moment which Daniel indicated was at the 34-minute, 34-second mark of the podcast that I realized what an awful human being I am.
And Daniel had to point it out to you.
No. Well, he pointed out the moment that it occurred on the podcast.
Do you think that's because he has, like... You know how sometimes if you have, like, a secret sexual fetish for something, that you'll become hyper-aware of it in circumstances that no one else would notice? And do you think that that's Daniel's secret sexual fetish? Is this the moment when other people realize they're awful human beings? Like, that's what gets them off? Because I wouldn't be surprised by that, actually.
No, I wouldn't either. He's Japanese, though, so they do tend to get off on kooky things. No, so the existential crisis I had last week is gone.
Yay!
No more crisis. I'm an awful human being, so what of it?
So you're going to embrace it? You're embracing your inner Walter White?
God. Okay, so before the podcast, we talked a little bit about Breaking Bad, because we realized we hadn't really talked about Breaking Bad on this podcast.
Or Amazing
or in real life. Or in any context.
Right. Which is funny, because, again, like...
We both really liked it.
And I assumed that you hadn't seen it, because there are no gay characters on it.
But,
I guess that's true of most TV, actually. Representation's not that good, still.
But you know what? Having said that, like, the season 2 of Hannibal... Like, especially towards the end, where you really get the homoeroticism. You know, there's something... It brings out the inner repressed gay boy in me to watch that.
Yeah, there's nothing... nothing repressed about it.
No, but but just where nothing... Where everything is nuanced.
It's so good.
It really is. And you know, the Like I said, it just brings out that inner, like, you know, when we're dying for, like, any sort of, like, when cruising was okay, just because it meant we were on the screen, yeah. Even though it was pretty fucking deplorable, but that's and then what was even more deplorable was James Franco's...
Did you watch it?
I did watch it.
And it's bad?
It's okay. It's not bad in a sense of... It's
hit
just...
Hit the cough button. You hit the cough button, right?
Sure I did. Whatever.
Good, I would hate to be embarrassed. I would hate for people to think me some sort of lower class person.
You mean there's actually possibility for lower?
Yeah.
Okay. No, so, yeah, Interior Leather Bar is just, all it is just someone filming a meditation of that edited out scene from Cruising, and, like, you see them starting to film that missing footage, but a lot of the movie is just talking about that missing footage, and, like, and then the main character, how he's, like, how the actor is actually straight in real life, and yada yada yada, boring, boring, boring. So that's what it mostly was. So whether it's good or not, I'm not sure.
You were too busy jerking off.
No, I mean it was. I mean it's fine. I don't know.
It does. Like, I mean,
like, there are some things where you just watch and you go, you know, I don't know what to think about this. That Interior Leather Bar is one of those movies.
The weirdest thing about Hannibal, especially the second, the sort of tail end of that second season of Hannibal, is how it uses the sort of like coyness that it is about, you know, like that it has about the Will Hannibal relationship as a sort of as a secondary like distraction from what it's actually about, which is sort of like the whole idea of seduction and corruption. And you know, like, it has all these, like, really interesting theological themes that are going on, too, that I just find utterly fascinating with Hannibal. Like, there's so many levels to it that I really like it. And it's also, like, it does what great art does, which has a lot of levels, but it's also just super-duper entertaining.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
And you're now at the Red Dragon section.
Yeah, I've started the Red Dragon section, so I'm catching up. My goal is to catch up on it by the time the finale hits. Mm-hmm. Let's see if
Which is next week or the week after?
Something like that. I think there are two more episodes left.
I think so too.
And so we'll see if I actually do make it. Like logic says I should, but I never follow logic. I tend to want to assault it, which I generally do very successfully. But going back to Breaking Bad, because mm-hmm. you made that quip about Walter White and how much, you know...
Well, you just said I'm embracing what an awful person I am, which is sort of what happens at the end of... that's most of the last season.
Yeah, I liked Breaking Bad. I liked the show. I didn't really buy, like, the greatest show of all time hype that people were saying about it. I don't know about that. But it was a very good show.
It is. I agree. And I agree with that.
The one thing that confused me, though,
uh-huh.
is why a lot of people loved Walter White at the end.
Because people are bad. Like, even people who like something like it for... You know, like what you can argue are the wrong reasons. Like they're definitely taking a message away from it that is not intended, but is the surface level message. It's like people who watch Starship Troopers and think that it's like a gung-ho pro-military, rah-rah action film. Like it seems obvious, but it's not to everyone. Like if you don't hold people by the hand and lead them, they will take the wrong moral from almost any story.
Didn't they actually, like, rip out some of Hitler's speeches into Starship Trooper?
I don't remember if that happened. I know that happened recently. I mean, that seems to happen a lot. And I know it happened recently in on the Daily Mail page, like, someone started posting Hitler quotes with the word migrant instead of the word Jew, and they got upvoted massively. We laugh, but it's awful.
Because the only reaction, well, I mean, I guess you could cry, but I don't like crying because it messes with my mascara.
And also, you know, like, there's some things that it's important to keep to just the, you know, like important, intimate, physical relations. Like, you only want to cry, really, after you've been fucked really well. Right?
No, I'd rather...
Jimmy's, like, actually contemplating it.
I'd rather be passed out from the guy choking me, but, you know, to each to... whatever. I'm not even going to bother with that expression.
But if you're passed out, then how do you inhale the poppers?
I think part of it is because...
Of the poppers?
Yeah.
Poppers jokes are never not funny. They're always good. It's such a weird fucking thing.
I don't know. Do straight people use poppers during sex?
Not during sex. We just use them for fun. But they're awful. It's the worst.
It is the worst. Like popper headaches?
It's like, yeah, no, like you, like just huff glue. You're better off. Huff glue, do nitrous, something. Something, not that.
But going back to Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so like, I didn't understand, okay, why people loved Walter White at the end and just hated his wife. Because I thought she was really fucking badass in that last season.
Yeah. But it's mostly because what they thought the show was about was this sort of milquetoast, you know, like, button-down teacher who became a meth, you know, like, who became a meth-dealing superstar. And that's, like, when he really came into his own. He's, like, super awesome, you know, like, go Walter White. And it's, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's a power fantasy. And they're looking at the shallow part of that. It's like, oh, people listen to him. He's making all this money, blah, blah, blah. And missing that the show is all about how that is actually terrible for him.
Mm-hmm.
And destroys, like, everyone around him in a really entertaining way. Like, one of the reasons I really like Breaking Bad is because it never really feels like a drama. Like, it always feels like a really fucking black comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, and granted, like, it has some super, like, burly emotional stuff going on, too. But there's always that edge of, like, sort of, you know, like, it's a really specific kind of nastiness. Because, you know, like, there's a kind of nastiness, like the movie Kick-Ass has this edge of nastiness to it that I really dislike, that feels, like, really, really extra misanthropic. And Breaking Bad, plays with that a little bit, but it's so sort of clever and you know, like, enticing with it that I really like it. Like, I like, my favorite scene in the entire series is the scene when he is the after the plane crash, when he's in the auditorium talking to the kids, and he starts giving this impromptu speech about how the plane crash, like, really wasn't that bad because, you know, no one on the ground was killed. And really, like, one of the planes is only half full, so it could have been much worse. It was only the, like, 110th deadliest plane crash in United States aviation history.
Like, I don't remember that.
It's a weird, weird speech, but it's really fucking funny, and really dark, because, of course, like he's mostly responsible for that plane crash.
Yeah, I should probably go back, and at some point I'll rewatch it, but, I mean, it was such a chore to watch it the first time around, because just spending the whole time catching up, and then I binge-watched it also, which I think didn't help matters.
It's a really good show to binge watch, though, because it moves, especially those last couple seasons, really move.
But I don't think it didn't help me because I wasn't able to digest the episodes.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to have watched it traditionally, so. Yeah, like that whole plane crash thing, I'm just totally blanking out on. But then I generally tend to forget details of things. I just, like, I'm all about the feelings of things, the mood it evokes. That's what
can you draw a picture of how Breaking Bad made you feel? A mental picture, fine.
Can I draw it? It made me feel happy. Cause it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know? And so that just, I don't know, it just made me feel happy. Just like a big dumb smile. That's sort of the picture I get from Breaking Bad.
Alright. So you're leaning into your evil, your awfulness. I won't say evilness, because that implies something else. But your awfulness.
Yeah, and
your
I just
intrinsic awfulness.
Yeah, well, I've made peace with it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about that.
And I just don't give a fuck.
Really? Yeah. Not a single fuck?
Not one. Not one fucks could be had with me thinking about it. Is that what I wanted to say? I don't know. So you got anything else? So, yeah, so I just went, 20 minutes talking about my non-existent existential crisis. of sorts.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else. Oh, the Dodgers are really blowing it.
Oh, the Chase Utley era went off with smashingly in Houston on Friday night. They got no hit by the Astros. Yep. Their former division mates, now in the AL West. And so the pitcher Mike Fiers, or however the fuck you say his name. Wasn't he the guy who hit, Mike Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton in the face with the pitch and, like, knocked him out
I don't know.
I think that was him. And basically ended his season last year. Anyhow, so it was his, I think, third start with Houston since he was traded from Milwaukee. And he threw a no-hitter against the Dodgers. It was funny because the other day I was looking through Instagram, and I guess they were the Dodgers are trying to start a campaign, One in a Million.
That's not a good title for that, guys.
Yeah, and so the jokes are right there.
What are the chances we'll beat St. Louis if we meet them in the playoffs again?
What are the chances we make the playoffs?
No, I think we're going to make it. I totally think we're going to make the...
I hope
I think not. I think we're going to make the division playoffs. I don't think we're going to make it to the... Whether or not we... I think we'll probably make... We might make it to the NLCS, but we're not going to win the pennant. There's just... We're so bad in the postseason, and they really haven't done anything to address that. And, you know, we have two of the best pitchers in baseball, and that's kind of it. And the best closer, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, except one of the pitchers tends to be a shrinking violet
in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, against St. Louis
specifically.
Yeah. It's very
specific. Which is why I said. Yeah, no, I mean...
I don't know what I feel about the Dodgers. I know I should be rooting for them because they are the hometown team, and they are the team I've rooted for since, I don't know, forever. But I'm just not into them. Like, this team, I'm just... not into.
I miss Matt Kemp.
Oh god, no. I wouldn't go that far.
I know you hate Matt Kemp, but...
Like, so a couple weeks ago he hit...
And I miss Uribe, actually, too.
Oh yeah, Uribe was great.
But, like, I miss that clubhouse, especially the 2013 clubhouse, was so much... was, like, a really fun team to follow. And this year has been less fun, partly because it's really fucking difficult too, since the games are not being broadcast anywhere.
I actually miss some of the McCourt teams, like some of the later ones too that didn't make the playoffs. I really miss the characters in there. Like I really like Justin Sellers. Like, he was just this ball of energy, and he was just a riot. And it was funny just how pissed off Ronald Belisario would get at him, because, their lockers were, I think, they were two lockers apart from each other. So Belisario would, throw things at Sellers, and it was sort of antagonistic, but you know what? Ronald Belisario is a dickhead, so... Anyhow, I miss those clubhouses. Ever since that big mega trade with Boston, it felt a lot different.
Yeah. And I mean, that was...
I think it's because I never liked Adrian Gonzalez. I think he's a pretty big dickhead. Too, so in the same way Albert Pujols is.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so this team, like if they win the World Series, that's I'll probably be really happy. But if they don't, I mean, it's... I don't care either.
I mean, well, and then the disappointment of the last 2 years of getting... of advancing to the playoffs and then just completely falling apart.
I mean, and look at that bullpen.
Bullpen's a mess. It's still a mess.
It's just... I mean, there's a reason why every Dodger fan on Twitter, when they got Chase Utley from Philly, started saying, oh, so can he pitch? I mean, I still think that's a funny joke. Even though Dodger bloggers don't. But you know what? Fuck them. They're all sanctimonious assholes. I kid. I love them all. Except for one.
Which one? tell me after we're done recording.
No,
it might be you.
The one who's not writing about them anymore. Me. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. Go Dodgers, I guess.
No, it's just, yeah, it's...
I mean, you know what? I need something to fill the void of, like, okay, so my soccer team, Chelsea, mm-hmm. they've just basically shit the bed these first two games.
I really hate that phrase.
Shit the bed?
Uh-huh.
Why?
How often does that happen? How often have you ever shit your bed?
On purpose or accidentally?
Oh, we're gonna go with accidentally because I don't think anyone shits, you know, like in the metaphorical sense, shits the bed on purpose. So,
no, I mean my grandmother has had a couple of accidents recently, so yeah. But I don't know why you're so against shit the bed.
It's a really gross fucking phrase.
Oh, God, Mr. Sensitive over here.
It's, I mean, it's just like, it seems unnecessarily vulgar. It does. Like, you just, like, if you just said they took a shit, like, you would know that they're doing really poorly. You don't need to add the bed part. That just creates a really unpleasant, like, I like sheets. I like clean, well-laundered sheets. And so the concept of someone shitting in a bed is vile to me.
I think that's sort of the feeling that expression is meant to evoke.
But it doesn't mean... It doesn't mean, like, like the horrible, most disgusting thing that's ever happened. It just means things fall apart. Not things fall apart in bed. It's not a fucking Chinese fortune cookie. I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother, by the way. That sounds awful.
It is awful. But whatever. She refuses to die, so it's her own damn fault. Let's let that awfulness just sink. But anyhow, so yeah, my Chelsea have started the season in very poor form. How is that?
That's much better. I read a thing earlier that suggested that, you know, what offensive terms for people were, and then suggested a more friendly, modern, less pejorative version. And out of favor is blind person. In favor, person who is blind.
Huh? So blind person...
Political correctness run amok.
Blind person is
bad. Person who is blind, totally okay.
Jesus. That's like an editor's nightmare. I mean, what if you only have a 500-word column space?
Well, I
you
mean,
can't.
Like, so look, so there's two extremes. One is overcorrecting like that, which is, you know, also people, you know, people who insist and correct you when you say Indians or American Indians as Native Americans, like, no, sorry. If someone says, I prefer to be called a Native American, fuck yes, of course. Like, I call people what they like to be called. But at the same time, like, a distinction that makes literally no difference, person who is blind, as a catch-all, is stupid. But on the other end of the spectrum, you have, like, during that Republican debate, every time they discussed the guy who had shot, the woman in San Francisco who'd been an undocumented alien, they referred to him as an illegal. Or the illegal. And they would just, like, they would repeatedly refer to people who are in the country without documentation as an illegal. Like, not even illegal alien, which is already problematic enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you were just like, oh, he's a blind, that would be pretty fucked up. But, a blind person is not fucking offensive. Sorry.
Yeah, that's really fucking retarded. What were we talking about?
I don't know. You
kept interrupting me because I wanted to go on.
Oh,
soccer
you were talking. Oh, that's right, yeah, you were talking about Chelsea.
Yeah,
and how they pooped in their bed.
Yeah, they pooped their drawers.
You sleep in a drawer?
Drawers are pants.
Yes.
They pooped in their pants.
But that's different than shitting your bed.
Yeah. Because you took offense to that phrase, so I decided to change it up a little. See?
Thank you.
You're
being sensitive to me.
Yes. I'm a very sensitive person, as opposed to what most people think, you goddamn motherfucking asshole.
So you really haven't actually embraced your inner awfulness completely, have you?
I'm done.
Yeah, I think we should just end it there.
Fuck you.
Tell me about Chelsea. Tell me.
Don't touch me. I don't like being touched.
We should just end the podcast. There. Again. No outro music. Cut to black. like the Sopranos finale. Spoiler.
I think people know.
For something that happened 8 years ago.
So, like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. I am at Jimmy Bramlin on Twitter.
With one M. Not two M's, which is how I always type it. Then I'm like, why isn't it coming up?
He is at Walrus Master. I don't have an outro song.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you have anything you want me to put in there? Anything you would like to contribute?
Well, maybe we should have... Maybe we should start a Frank Ocean song and then, like, cut it off after, like, 5 seconds and put on a Kanye song.
Oh, yeah, that's happening tonight, right?
Actually, I guess it would probably be coinciding with the other two acts that I wanted to see there. Because there was another last-minute cancellation, for visa reasons, like they couldn't, like Joy Orbison and one of the other bands couldn't get visas, so they got Bonobo, your favorite, and
I still have no idea who the fuck they are.
It's a guy.
Oh, it's a guy.
It's a single guy. Yeah, he's a DJ.
He's a DJ.
I mean, he's a composer too, but like, but it, this is going to be a DJ set, and then Flying Lotus is also doing a DJ set. Okay. So. Which is, I mean, that's a pretty good fucking set.
Yeah. No, like, I would go to see Kanye. I like Kanye. I've never seen Kanye live before, so that would be neat.
I saw him at Coachella. Uh-huh. It was not good. And I love Kanye, but I was not impressed with
him. Actually, no, I lie. I saw him at an NBA All-Star game. He was doing a duet with Rihanna. So I saw that. But that's like not real.
Oh, because it's all pre-recorded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think the vocals are pre-recorded. The music is pre-recorded. So it's really weird seeing, like, musicians play, but you, like, the drums you see are all padded, and they're not really hitting the drums.
Oh, and they're not on time.
And the guitars aren't plugged in. So it's pretty amusing to watch that.
It's like watching Sid Vicious play bass.
Yeah. and I would go see FKA Twigs. I think she's interesting.
I do too. There's some interesting stuff. It's just, it's weird to see how much that festival has grown.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but they used to run it. Yeah. Have I?
Apparently. A couple of apartment.
Yeah, two doors down.
Was there a really bad band?
What?
Called Three Doors Down or something?
Oh, probably.
I don't know.
Sounds like a Christian band. Christian bands usually have letters or numbers in their name.
Oh, I thought they were like Canadian, like Nickelback.
So they can't be Canadian and Christian.
Or Seven Mary Three.
What Creed?
Creed.
Are Creed from Canada?
No, they're from Florida.
Whatever.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so some song is gonna appear at the end of this podcast. We don't know what it is. But it'll be something.
Oh, good. I suppose. Have you listened to that Seven Davis Jr. album?
The who?
The Seven Davis Jr. album?
No.
You should. You'd like it.
Is it anything like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I don't know. What is that?
They were... I saw their EP way back in my Santa Barbara days.
Uh-huh. And you had to buy it because it's an amazing name.
No, it was in the stacks at KCSB. And we played it... Me and Bad Kid, we played it that night on the air. Just without ever having listened to it. And we thought that was just a brilliant band name. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
It is. It's a great band name.
Post-hardcore-y sort of, you know, late 90s, early aughts type of feel.
This is like
maybe I'll play one of their songs. Okay, so I have it. I'll play one of their songs, a Cocaine Pinata.
But no, the Seven Davis Jr. album is like it's basically like Detroit House meets Minneapolis Sound. It's kind of great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, excuse moi. So we'll end this podcast now.
Mostly. There's a lot of burps on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's because of the...
You hit the cough button on that one, too?
Ooh, that's better. Ew. What?
Did you just burp my chair?
I don't know what's going on. So, okay, yeah, this is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Cocaine Pinata. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.